97.5 The Fanatic.
Now I am told he's on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. He's Kevin Negandhi of ESPN. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, Joe. Good morning. My apologies. I turned my phone off.
That's okay, man.
Because I was reading a book today. I'm reading the Steve Jobs book, so I got locked in on one of the chapters. So apologies.
How about you? Still improving yourself on your day off? You're a good dude, man. Now you do the 6 o'clock Sports Center during the week. You still with Sage Steele?
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been interesting. We were on from 5 to 7, and I've been. I think our crew's done an amazing job. Considering I go into work, all our anchors are working in studio.
Yeah, I was going to ask you like the logistics about because of how the environment has changed. How do you guys get it done?
ESPN's done an amazing job of awareness. So I literally only see between 4 to 7 people all day.
Wow.
Social distancing is practiced. Campus is pretty quiet because the majority of people are working at home. We have, the producer of the show is on campus.
Okay.
He is about like 20 feet away from me because I'm at my cubicle and he's at his desk.
And you can see things on your computer, obviously.
Oh, yeah. We do everything via computer. Our segment producers are all at home. Our graphics people everybody's at home. Our researchers at home. Our coordinating producers on campus. We have another producer that does the PTI segments with Tony and Mike. As you've seen before, Tony's in his attic when he's taping and Mike's in Scottsdale.
Wow.
Arizona. So everybody, and we've had a handful of different anchors. I've done shows with Ryan Smith, Hannah Storm, Carl Ravitch, Nicole Briscoe. We've done a really good job of making sure that we're spacing it out because there's not every show that's on now. So there are anchors that are volunteering, and saying, hey, I'd like to work. So they're coming in and they're joining me on the set. So it's been good, and these shows are 5 to 7. And we have a handful of interviews. Like we had Tua Tagovailoa on the other day, which I arranged.
Tua on the other day?
Yeah, we did.
Love him.
This is after his workouts, and he's a good kid. And I go back with Tua and his family. So he was happy to join and give us an update on how he's feeling and the progress he's making and what's ahead for him in the next couple weeks.
Kevin, it's amazing, and I've lauded what ESPN has done during these times because I love NBC Sports Philadelphia, formerly of Comcast, but I've got a lot of good friends over there, but they haven't been doing shows on weekends, and I'm like, hey, fellas, just because you don't have games, I mean, we're doing shows. ESPN, believe it or not, puts 2-3 hours of content together daily, several times a day, and you guys are off the air. I don't get it. But anyway, back to you guys. Are you guys told to maybe have a little bit more leeway with guests? You can go a little longer, or how is the content put together?
When we have guests, they're aware. That's actually a really good question. They're aware of these are abnormal times, so they're not sticking to, hey, just ask a couple questions then we got to go.
Sure.
The Tua interview went over 5.5 minutes, and which is very out of the ordinary for a Sports Center guest.
Right, sure.
I'm grateful for that because it gives me the leeway to react and respond to questions, because I think anybody that does a good interview listens to the answers and then you adjust your questions. You don't just go down this list of
that's exactly this question.
Because the subject is going to lead you into a specific story that they want to talk about. So it's your job to help open up that conversation. So when you have more than the allotted normal 2.5 to 3.5 minutes, you get the ability to just kind of peel that onion, right?
Yeah.
The same way you're doing right now. You're asking me a question. You had an idea of where you wanted to go, but now we're going down the line of how we're expanding our Q&A off of the Tua Tagovailoa answer. So, and that's what we get the chance to do when we have these conversations with people. And, honestly, like, unique times, many of these guys want to open up and share some stories. Tua expanded on a Nick Saban story, which I thought was great. And You know, his face lit up when he could talk about, you know, thinking when you get a phone call from Nick, it's, oh, here comes the principal. I got to go to the principal's office. You know, and then you could talk a little bit about that. And
that's great.
So, you know, in these moments, I think the most important thing, I don't think about I've got to do a job. I think of how can I make this entertaining, add some levity, and how do I make sure that the viewer that's watching us has some moments of distraction during this time. And I feel like we try to do that 2 hours a day while you are at home or you're, you know, on a Zoom call and you're dealing with the real consequences of real life things. You get a couple hours to just say, all right, let me just get away and let me just be normal and let's get some, you know, sports information. And, you know, it's pretty cool that we've peppered in between the updates of, you know, what leagues are thinking. You know, we're doing the NFL updates of where teams are going to project with draft picks and where the free agency market is. And then at the same time, we get to do 4 or 5 minute runs of highlights, which I love, like a top 10. We did a top 10 of Michael Jordan's greatest plays. We did a top 10 of Wimbledon moments. We've done a top 10 of the Elite Eight. I'm sure we'll do the top 10 of the National Championship, which is tomorrow. So we get to, you know, mark certain moments in time and say, all right, on this date, such and such happened. Let's look at some of the top 10s of this certain player. And that's kind of how we pass for the time and make it entertaining.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, Kevin, you guys do a phenomenal job. I was in TV forever, and I watch it with a different eye in terms of production value and what you guys are doing for content. The fact that you are putting shows together and just the output every day, considering the environment, is just amazing. You do a phenomenal job. I'm with Kevin Negandhi from ESPN on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. Before I get to the Eagles, Kevin, since we're on the subject of Tua, let me get your thoughts on him, because I have been in his corner. I think, to me, he's the best prospect out there. I know Joe Burrow might go to the Bengals, or if the Dolphins make a trade, maybe they're looking for Joe Burrow. I still think Tua is the guy. How do you feel about Tua? Where should he be in this draft class?
I'm a huge fan of Tua. When you look at his ability to move around, I look at the next version of Drew Brees. He's an accurate thrower everywhere he goes. And when I say everywhere he goes, he can throw in the pocket, he can roll out, he can ad lib. He's got a phenomenal arm. If Tua wasn't hurt, if Tua didn't have that, now listen, he's had some ankle issues.
Yes.
And I think that even with the ankle issues, if he didn't dislocate his hip, I think he would have been the number one pick of the draft. And that's not a knock on Joe Burrow, because right. I think Joe Burrow's got it. I think you can have two quarterbacks that have it.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere Tua goes, he walks into a room, and I ask them this question, like, you know, do you feel like it works against you when you can't walk into a room face-to-face and meet the coaching staff and meet the personnel? Because he has
that quality.
It factor
yeah.
to go with all the physical traits.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, scouts look for that. Coaches look for that, because are you going to own the room? Because that's what the quarterback's role is. We've seen fantastic quarterbacks have zero personality and they don't succeed because they're going to have to own a huddle. They've got to own a team during a run. And Tua has it. I actually think Joe Burrow has it as well. And if you watch that, any of the LSU big games, Joe's like, get on my back. I know I've got a lot of athletes around me and fantastic players who are going to be, you know, NFL Sunday ready guys, but I'm going to execute the game plan. And he did that brilliantly. So I think that you when you draft a guy like Tua, let's just say if the Dolphins are sitting there at 5 and Tua's there, you run up there or you whatever they're going to do on draft night, mm-hmm. you punch it in or you email or you top line somebody and say, let's get him now. You text and you find a way to electronically pass on your message that that's your guy. I don't know how much capital you want to give up to move up in the draft with the fear that, all right, are you risking a little too much? Because there is that unknown about Tua's ability to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Burrow's the perfect fit for Cincinnati for a lot of reasons, because I think that franchise desperately needs a game changer, and you can get that at quarterback, but it's a combination. He's from Ohio. I think Mike Brown looks at selling tickets. Cincinnati needs to sell tickets. And he's the perfect fit in that situation to be the number one pick representing the Bengals. Because I think that it'll jumpstart the fan base to buy tickets and go. To me, I'm fascinated to see what Detroit does at 3, if they're picking up the phone or how they handle the Matthew Stafford situation. Because is a team like the Chargers going to call and say, hey, we want to jump in front of the Dolphins and make this? But don't forget, the Dolphins have so much draft capital.
Yeah.
So they can assure, I mean, they got 3 first-round picks. They got 2 next year as well. So the capital that the Dolphins have to move up, how are the Lions going to play both these teams to get the highest, you know? Because, listen, the Lions are not a player away. I love Okuda. I think Okuda would be brilliant, especially when they've traded Slay away in that defensive backfield. But the Lions need multiple players. So if you can get, you know, a ton of picks, then you've got to consider sliding down a little bit from 3 to 5 or 3 to 6, which the Lions could do, talking to the Chargers. And the Chargers are, if they get Tyrod Taylor to play well, great. If they can bring in Cam Newton, great. But you also need a guy where you're going to sell tickets. And I think that a guy like Tua will sell tickets in L.A. So what do the Chargers want to do? Because you have a ton of talent on the offensive weaponry side. And you've got a really good defense. So I think the Chargers are in a position where they've got to – how much do they like Jordan Love? How much do they like Justin Herbert? Is that gap close enough that if they strike out and not get Tua, they've got to make a move at quarterback at 6?
Well, let me ask you something now that you mentioned that, and I still will get to the Eagles in a second, but the Skins are sitting at 2. They were 3-13 last year. Ron Rivera's coming in to coach the team. Dwayne Haskins was their pick last year at 15. Chase Young obviously is the guy that they're slotted to take, but I believe... Well, I should say this. I don't necessarily believe that Dwayne Haskins is a franchise guy. I know they picked up Kyle Allen. That was Ron Rivera's guy behind Cam Newton, played a lot last year for him. But I don't believe personally that they have that franchise guy there. They might think so, or they might not want to invest more capital into another quarterback this year. But they're sitting there looking at Tua, and that's your franchise quarterback. Any chance that they go for a quarterback there or Joe Burrow?
I think... Personally, and this is my opinion, I actually think Dwayne Haskins is a franchise guy. I just think that he was in such a bad situation because that head coach in Jay Gruden did not want Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the owner making the pick. And we saw how dysfunctional that organization has been when it comes to management, ownership, as well as coaching staff. They're not on the same page. It feels like Ron Rivera is going to have more control, but we always say that so. You're one of every new head coach in Washington under Dan Snyder. So I actually think if you make that first round pick on Haskins, you've got to legitimately give him the chance to succeed for the next 2 years. You have to.
Okay.
You have to say, we committed to you. And if you get a once-in-a-lifetime defensive player, I should say once-in-a-generation defensive player in Chase Young, you make the pick
okay.
at 2.
Right.
You don't think twice, because my biggest fear is that he's in the division for the Eagles, and they're going to have to face him twice a year.
He is
a game changer. I was on the field for that Fiesta Bowl against Clemson, and some people are taking taken some hits on Chase on his ability to get to the quarterback. He was a destructive force in that game. If you're watching on the field, he was still making big-time plays.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pushing the line, and he was pressuring the quarterback. And honestly, I think that's what you need in this day and age. You need a bona fide quarterback, and you need a guy that's going to apply the pressure on the quarterback, and you need a shutdown corner. And I think that personally, you're going to see that in two of the top five picks, in Okuda with the shutdown corner and Chase Young. Now, the question for me will be, you know, Isaiah Simmons, because I want to see in the next 5 years, where are we comparing Chase Young and Isaiah Simmons? Because I think Isaiah Simmons is the perfect football player when you're talking about defense in this day and age. He is an absolute freak show. And I saw him on the other side. He was everywhere in that game against Ohio State.
Really?
And when you talk to Burrow and LSU when they were getting ready for the national championship, you know, all Burrow and that LSU offense, all they were focused on is where is Isaiah Simmons on the field? And the idea that the Eagles will face maybe Chase Young twice a year and Isaiah Simmons twice a year if he's wearing, you know, a Giants uniform is something I've entertained and said, okay, well, this is what Carson Wentz is going to have to deal with. Because I think those two guys down the road, when we measure this draft, we are going to think about the three of the top five picks on the defensive side in Okuda, Chase Young, and Simmons, along with the two, I think, franchise-changing quarterbacks.
Well, let me ask you this, Kev, because you're right. They could be facing a pair of havoc-wreaking defensive players. They have Andre Dillard now probably taking over for Jason Peters to take care of Carson Wentz's backside. They might have a shutdown corner now in Darius Slay. They still don't have that dominant edge rusher. They have a quarterback, if he can stay healthy, past 16 games. Now they're looking at 21. They need wide receivers, could probably use another corner, but wide receiver is really where they are bereft at. What do you do at 21 if you're Howie Roseman?
You run to the front, and you make sure that Justin Jefferson's available at 21.
Okay, because I like Justin Jefferson. I think he might be even special. I don't know if I would count on him dropping a 21, but I would do what I can to get. I mentioned him in the beginning of the show to get Justin Jefferson.
Joe, I'm with you. I don't know if he's going to be around at 21. That's my biggest fear. Mm-hmm. And if he's not at 21, then you may have to look at Denzel Mims of Baylor, who I like a lot. But if Justin Jefferson's off the board, that means, of course, the top three wide receivers will be off the board. And that's Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb, who I think is a special kid, and Jerry Jeudy's a phenomenal route runner. And you got Ruggs, who's got the speed, and the idea of seeing potentially Ruggs or Lamb in a Cowboys uniform scares the heck out of me. So I think that you do everything you can get, you can to get Justin Jefferson. I think, there's going to be some teams in front of them that are probably going to try and get Justin Jefferson. The kid's special. I really am a big fan of Justin Jefferson. He's got the speed. I think he's got the ability. To me, Howie's got to hit not just one home run. He's got to hit two home runs in this draft at wide receiver. And this is a draft where you're going to see potentially two dozen wide receivers taken in the first three rounds. He's got to hit on two of them. To me, you've got to. You cannot go into this season thinking you know, JJ's going to be the guy. I like him. I think he's a decent player, but I wouldn't rely on him separating himself. You've got to find two bona fide studs here at the wide receiver position. And if you have an overflow of talent there, great. You know what? Fantastic. We'll take it because we haven't had that in a while.
Yeah, I'll take the other JJ. I'll take your Justin Jefferson over JJ Arcega-Whiteside, my friend. But
I agree.
Yeah, let's hope so. He only had five touchdowns against Oklahoma in the national semifinal game, so that wasn't too bad.
And then,
of a
and
day.
Then watch what he did against Clemson. Watch what he did against Alabama. Put on the tape against Georgia. Like, the kid shines. He shines in big moments.
In big games,
and
yeah.
He's from that LSU bloodline of wide receivers. He wants to be in that group. He understands the competition. I think I think the guy will separate himself if he's wearing a Philadelphia Eagles green.
Well, let's hope so, my friend. Kevin, I appreciate it. I know you understand. I had to keep you on a little longer, but, you know, because of your insight and your information as well as time constraints, we have to go. I appreciate it, pal. Keep up the great work at ESPN. We'll be watching you Monday through Friday, and I'll call you again. We'll catch up with you soon.
Joe, I love it. Appreciate you. I'm glad that I'm on. I hope everybody in the Philadelphia area stays safe, and please stay indoors. If it's not an essential thing, I can't stress that. If you want football 5 months from now, stay indoors right now.
You got it right, buddy. All right, I appreciate it. Stay healthy, Kevin. Talk to you soon.
Stay healthy. Take care.
All right, you too. Kevin Negandhi of ESPN. Got it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.